ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I said from day one, why not this group to do something special? And we'll go into the tournament with that mindset. Can it be us that does something special and goes further than Australia ever has before?
Socceroos coach Tony Popovich, he was speaking for the final time before heading overseas for the training camp that will run essentially all the way up to the World Cup. Popovich can be a low-key, circumspect, cards-close-to-his-chest kind of operator. Not today. You're going to want to hear this, because today he made some significant admissions about his hopes for this tournament, but also the players that he wants to deliver something special. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Amanda Shalala is a senior reporter with ABC. She's going to be covering the FIFA World Cup because she's a lucky duck. She's going to be on the ground as Australia take on Turkey. USA, Paraguay, all in a pretty interesting and tough group. Amanda, interesting today as Tony Popovich spoke to the press and framed us as underdogs as a nation in one sense, but also huge aspiration about the idea of doing something special and iconic.
It's a tough group. We're always deemed as the underdog or the team that, you know, will be fighting for the bottom spot. And we have an opportunity through our actions and our performances and results to show that that can be different.
Interesting to see the way he's framing us up. What did you see from it?
It's typical Tony Popovich. Of course, he's going to tap into that underdog spirit, but the belief that is always there with these Australian teams. He said these two words, why not? He said it before as well. Why not? Why can't we see the Socceroos go further than they have ever gone before at a World Cup, which has been the round of 16 twice? Of course, this time around, because there are 48 countries, there'll be a round of 32 first, then a round of 16. So whether or not he means making it to the quarterfinals or winning a knockout stage match, that would be a huge achievement if the Socceroos could do that. He's not short of belief at all. He wants these players to think that they can absolutely shoot for the stars and they can do something extraordinary.
Let's challenge ourselves and not put any limits on what we can achieve. And I think with that mindset, if we all buy into that, you know, we'll go into the games. I know we'll be very competitive and that immediately gives you a chance.
This is not necessarily the best Socceroos group that will ever go to a World Cup. That would still sit with that 2006 side. But many called that 2022 Socceroos squad one of the worst teams that we had ever sent, in terms of not as a slight, but if you looked player for player and the leagues they were playing with, that it wasn't necessarily of the quality where we had previously had many English Premier League players or a lot of players in the top five leagues in Europe. And yet they still managed to push Argentina in the knockout stage at a World Cup, the team that went on to win it.
Out by Otamendi. Oh, it's deflected. Oh! Goodwin with a huge deflection to completely beat Emi Martinez off Fernandez. And with 13 minutes to go, Australia have it back to 2-1.
So I think there's a bit of that spirit within this team as well. It's very similar. There still are not many that are across the top five leagues in Europe. But there are some very, very promising young players in particular in this squad. And I think that's where a lot of the excitement comes from, that if they decide their time is now, not 4 years' time, then perhaps they could do something special and maybe win a game in the knockout stage.
More on those youngsters in a moment, but I was fascinated by the fact that today the coach was announcing the eight-player initial group that is going to be part of a sort of training group who might still make it to the World Cup, and two stars of last World Cup in particular who have had an awful run with injury since that point. Defender Harry Suter and attacking threat Matthew Leckie. How did he frame those two and the injuries they've had to overcome as a kind of positive is the way I saw Tony Popovich framing it?
He was full of praise, particularly for these two players. He probably spoke about these two more than anyone else in what was close to a one-hour press conference. And if you look at Suter in particular, he's had a wretched run. So he had been out since December 2024 with a ruptured Achilles. He only came back for his club side, Leicester City, a couple of weeks ago. Thankfully, he's gotten through the last couple of games unscathed, but he needs a bit more time, a bit more fitness. But Popovich believes that the big man will come through this better, stronger than ever, because he had similar adversity heading into 2022 and was one of the Socceroos' best.
That when you don't play for 15 months and you can produce not just the results, they had a draw and a win with Harry in the team, But if you watch him perform and you watch those two games, there is presence, there is aura, there is a leader. You can't get that in a young player overnight. That takes time. And he's done it at a World Cup when he played also underdone. So they've shown the resilience and mentality that you need at a World Cup, because you need to be able to suffer, you need to be able to go through tough times. These boys have done that.
I think most keen observers believe that if Suter is fit, even if it's not 100%, if he is close to full fitness, then he should and will be in that final squad and probably starting in that centre-back position as one of the three there that we know Popovic likes to go with his three centre-backs and his two wing-backs. So he's come into this train-on squad because Popovic wants these initial eight players just to have a bit more fitness, a bit of time to keep up with everything while the other players are still finishing their seasons. Matthew Lecky perhaps is the more interesting one. He's 35 years old now, playing for Melbourne City, and Popovic has said he's just so impressed that at that age, he's still playing at his best or even getting better.
To play that way with the amount of limited amount of minutes that he's had, if you have a look, I think he's played six or seven games. I think from October to April, he didn't play any football, and then he plays 120 minutes, takes a penalty. It just shows the strength of the person, and that shows you how important that is at a World Cup. So to give him a chance of being in the squad, we've taken him, so he'll travel today.
He was the one that sent the Socceroos through to the round of 16 in Qatar with that goal against Denmark. So we know that he can be a match winner on that stage.
And a break here for Riley McGree. It's on for Matthew Lecky. Matthew Lecky cuts back inside. One way, then the other. And he scores for Australia. Matthew Lecky embraces the moment for the Socceroos.
And the way Popovic was talking today, you get the sense he is a very strong chance of forcing his way into this final 26-man squad, largely because of his versatility as well. That was another key word from today. Popovic wants players who are versatile, who can play in multiple positions, which Lecky can do.
I think that just shows the quality that he has. He can really play 6, 8, 10, 9. Seen him as a winger as well recently with Melbourne City. So yeah, I think that's just the versatility and quality. It's one thing playing in a different position, but being an outstanding player in that position is different, and I think he shows that. And hopefully we get a chance to use that versatility.
That is something that could hold him in very good stead.
You mentioned young, exciting prospects, and two who are probably fit firmly in that category, Nestor Iancunda and Mo Touré. Touré scored again overnight. I think that's 10 goals in 12 games in the championship.
Absolutely, and Wright involved again, and Ben Slimani, and now Touré, and there is the goal that Norwich have been threatening.
Is there a sense that these two, it feels like they could be on the precipice of absolutely exploding on the world stage?
They are so incredibly exciting. They're still so young, 20, 21 years old, around that. And Touré missed the March window for the Socceroos with a groin injury. He has come back better and stronger than ever for Norwich, and it's been really pleasing to see the way he's managed to finish that season. He is clearly Australia's number one striker if he's fully fit. There were concerns in that March window when he wasn't there. Well, what's the backup? Popovic did try Denny Juric. He was solid without being spectacular. And Iancunda came off the bench in both of those games against Cameroon and Curaçao, and he was unbelievable leading the line. But in an ideal world, you have both fit and firing. You would have Mo Touré up front and you would have Nestor Iancunda on the wing. Iancunda's a really fascinating one to watch because there's a lot of transfer talk around him at the moment, with rumours that apparently some Premier League clubs are chasing him, interest from the Serie A, from the Bundesliga, and rumours that maybe he could become the most expensive Australian transfer ever, with the figure that's being bandied around of $32.5 million. The most expensive Aussie to date was Harry Suter, who went to Leicester City a few years ago for $24.4 million. But even to have him being spoken about like that, it just shows his calibre and his quality. So you would think for both of them, where they are at the moment in the championship, they probably won't be there too much longer. Bigger things lie ahead for them in club football, and hopefully the pressure of the World Cup doesn't get to them and they can seize the stage. But from what we've seen so far, you do feel like they're big time players and they will love this.
That's all the feel-good stuff. The headaches are in midfield right now. Aidan O'Neill suffered an ankle injury overnight in Major League Soccer. Jackson Irvine has had a nasty ongoing foot issue. He's continued to play, but it's there. They're the midfield foundations. Is that a worry to have that compromise at all? How is Tony sort of responding to that?
Of course, he's going to say he's not too concerned about it. He was really downplaying O'Neill in particular. That did only happen this morning, and so we're not 100% sure on the status of that ankle injury.
Yeah, we saw he came off. I think it was 35 minutes this morning. So it's not the best news you get in when you wake up. But we've had a look at the footage, and you know, it's hard to determine how serious it is at the moment.
These two, Irvine and O'Neill, have been the fulcrum of his central midfield pairing really throughout Popovich's tenure. We know they're his two favourites for those two positions. So if you don't have either of them, it does become a little bit concerning. There's definitely depth there, but probably not of the same quality. There's a Connor Metcalf who could possibly come in. And Popovich did speak very highly of Paul Okon-Engsler, who really is a rising talent and will, again, be one of those young stars that will shine into the future. So if anything happens with those two, perhaps he's one that gets a chance to step up. There are others you could throw into the mix, like an Alex Robertson, a Patrick Yazbek. But I would say if you're looking at all the different lines, this one has been pretty set for a very long time, these two. And so you would hope what Popovich's optimism does pay off. For Irvine, this will likely be his last World Cup. And it's not just about what he brings as a player. It's the experience that he brings as well that the Socceroos do need. He steps in as captain when Matt Ryan isn't there. And so at this stage, it's looking okay for both of them. O'Neill, it's a bit more of a wait and see. There are backup options. There's depth in every position, to his credit. Popovich has really built that. But in an ideal world, he wants those two there to start.
Amanda Shalala, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ducky.
Headlines. 38-year-old Steph Gilmore has wound back the clock as she claimed the Gold Coast Pro over Luana Silver at Snapper Rocks.
It's epic. This is what I wanted. I wanted to push myself. I wanted to feel that feeling like, can you do it? And then, you know, ask yourself those questions and then just put your head down and try and do it. So really, I'm so stoked. And to do it here in Snapper, look at that crowd. Are you kidding?
That's her seventh title at the break. What a legend. Oscar Piastri has absolutely flown home to grab a place on the Miami Grand Prix podium. He finished third in the United States for McLaren. His teammate and reigning world champ, Lando Norris, was second as he placed for the first time in 2026. Not that he appeared exactly overjoyed about that outcome.
We just got undercut. There's no excuses other than that. We got undercut. We should have boxed first. Kimi did a good job. And it looked good, I guess. If you guys enjoyed it, then I'm very happy, you know.
It is something of a revival for the Papaya team. But Kimi Antonelli, the kid is in another class right now. 19 years of age, the Italian won the race for Mercedes. He's 20 points clear of teammate George Russell in the overall standings. Charles Leclerc is third, then Norris, then Piastri. In the AFL, the Swans edged Melbourne to stay on top of the ladder in front of a big Sydney crowd on Sunday, including the diminutive big star actress, Sydney Sweeney. The Bloods are in front of the Dockers on percentage, but maybe the big talking point of the weekend was the Brisbane Lions whiteboard. Yes, they'd written a bunch of strengths and weaknesses of their opponents, Essendon, and as you can imagine, some of those were not exactly complimentary. A random Auskick parent who was at the public training ground during the week took a snap, posted it online. Lions coach Chris Fagan and Bombers coach Brad Scott both addressed it after the game.
What I'll probably say is I'm not going to comment about what was written on that whiteboard because from our perspective, it's private information. You know, somebody illegally took photos of information that was on a whiteboard and then decided to make a hero of themselves and put it out in the public domain.
They do that for every team, I imagine. But I think it's a problem for them to deal with, not for us. I wouldn't want that coming out of our building.
Incidentally, the Lions did win the game. For a full wrap of the round, you can check out ABC AFL Daily with Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron. And in the NRL, there's been a swathe of injuries with potential to sting the New South Wales Origin campaign. Roosters pair Angus Crichton and Mark Nwangane Tuase are hurt, as is Tigers playmaker Adam Dewey. All injured across the round. Crichton has hurt his knee. Nwangane Tuase needs ankle surgery. And scans will confirm the severity of Dewey's shoulder issue, but the early forecast suggests at least 4 weeks. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to FIFA, SBS, BN Sports, Fox Sports, and the WSL for the extra audio used in this episode.